The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our program today on this Thanksgiving Day. So happy that you are with us today. I have a special guest in the studio, and it is Jamal Bernard. Jamal is a pastor at the Christian Cultural Center. Now, you may remember I had A.R. Bernard, that is Jamal's dad, on my program. A.R. was a part of the Big Better Man event that took place September 18th down at First Baptist Orlando. Jamal, it is great to have you with us.
Oh, Mike, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this amazing station.
Now, you're here. Tell us why you're in Orlando.
Well, it's twofold. We are looking to launch a third campus, Orlando CCC, Christian Cultural Center. And we actually started prior to COVID. We had three services. Things were going smooth, and then the shutdown came. So we're actually relaunching it, and we're looking for locations to have service. And at the same time, we teamed up with the mayor for Eatonville and to do a food drive to help individuals have a great Thanksgiving. And we fed about 300 individuals where we prepared bags, turkeys, all the extra, you know, side dishes so that we can serve the community. And that's what we're about. Christian Culture Center is about the community.
That's really wonderful. Tell us a little bit about your dad's vision for this. It's a large church,
yes,
right in New York City.
Yes, it is. He says he's a storefront church with 45,000 members, right? And it's funny.
Wait a minute. All the pastors just fell out of their chairs. 45,000 members?
Yes, yes. And growing because one of the things I do, you know, because COVID took us out of our comfort zone, and it gave us access to individuals that normally wouldn't come to the building that are now a part of the internet campus. And so we're growing. But Christian Culture Center is one of the principles my dad taught me as, you know, as we're growing and doing things. He said the success of any church is based on how relevant it is to its community. If that church shut down today, would the community miss it? Right. And we're about social engagement. We believe that the gospel is a holistic gospel. It speaks to the whole man, not just the spiritual aspect. So if we're not speaking to the whole man, I don't think we're doing a proper job. So CCC, Christian Culture Center, no matter where we are, we're about community engagement. We're about uplifting the community. We're about getting individuals to play their role in society in a positive way. We're about developing individuals so that they can be the best individual they can be.
And give us a little bit of your own experience in coming to know the Lord. I know when you're a PK like you are, that is not always an easy route to come to know the Lord yourself.
No, it's not an easy route. And the irony is, after I went to the altar call on maybe my sixth time, you know, because all PKs, I think they went to the altar call numerous of times, right? But what made it easy, and I got to give my dad a lot of credit, you know, I love this man. He is a genius. He's brilliant. And he created this message, and I don't remember the title, but the gist of the message is "Leave My Kids Alone," which delivered us. It delivered us to seek this God through a freedom of the burden that he is walking with, right? He said, "Don't put my calling on my kids. This is my calling." And that really helped us out a lot. And he just took us on a path, a journey to seek this Christ. So he was preaching, and I believe it was at Salvation Army on 14th Street, and a friend of mine, his father got saved, and the kid started crying, and he told me, he said, "My father, we thought we'd never get saved. He drinks, he abuses us verbally, he abuses us, you know, physically." And I said, "Wow, this changed, this meeting of Jesus Christ just changed multi-generations," right? This is not a God of one generation. He's a God of Isaac, Jacob, right? He's a God of multi-generations. And when I saw that, because my favorite superhero is Superman.
Hey, that was mine when I was growing up too. How about that?
But every time you turn around, Superman's putting the same guy back into jail or you know, dealing with the same issues. And I said, wow, you know, Jesus is the ultimate superhero. He is the one that if he touches the heart properly, you know, if you allow him to touch the heart and become, you know, authentically changed for Christ, you will never be the same person you were before Christ. And I said, I want to follow this Christ. I want to not only follow this Christ, but I want to help individuals know this Christ.
Well, on the subject of PKs, I think that you'd be a great one to offer encouragement to all the pastors out there, because I know there was a time I was a pastor for 36 years, and we, my wife and I, prayed for our kids, and there was an event one day in prayer that I look back, and I do believe God heard my prayer and changed the direction of not only my life, but my kids' lives as well. And that whole thing can be done, I believe, by a dad, a pastor, who is praying for his kids. What advice would you have as being a child that saw your dad do that?
Preach the gospel, live out your convictions. And what do I mean by that? You know, he led us to know this Christ. But if it wasn't for his lifestyle, the way he lived, we would have rejected the Christ. Because ultimately, you as the pastor, you as the father, remember, you wear multiple hats. And if your lifestyle is not consistent with the gospel that you're preaching, you're going to have a problem with the kids. Because we see you at home.
Mm-hmm.
We see when you're not on stage. And if on stage life and the off stage life doesn't match.
Well said.
Right? It creates us, you know, wondering, well, what is the strength of the gospel, right? And I believe that the strength of the gospel is its ability to change the character of the one listening and living this walk with God.
Mm-hmm. So it is the role of the life of the pastor that really has a big impact on those kids and really might be determinative in what happens to them, whether they're going to go the fare of many PKs, which is so sad, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. To think that they're sometimes known as the most rebellious. But that was not typical, should not be typical for PKs if they are brought up in love and the nurture, not only of their parents, but given the ability to be human kids, mm-hmm. not supermodels.
Yep.
And I think that's something that is often put on the kids, not only by the church, but by the parents too.
Yes. Yep.
Got to be well behaved all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I believe that, you know, light travels faster than sound. So what people see in your life affects them far greater and faster than what they hear come out of your mouth.
Mm.
Right? And if we're, you know, my father just understood that ministry starts at home. Right? No matter how big the church is, all ministry starts at home. And when you look at that, if you're going to develop a proper ministry, it has to start at home with loving and dealing with your family.
Now that's well said, my friend. Jamal is my guest today, Jamal Bernard from New York City. Tell us a little bit about those early times when it crossed over, Jamal, in your own life from being who you heard your dad preach about to the Lord being your Lord. Tell us about that.
I think I went, the relationship growth was in stages between God and I, you know, from the early age, I knew I wanted to be a pastor, but the relationship with Jesus and I wasn't there. And as I hit certain points in my life, did I realize the need to get closer to God. And it was when I was in high school, you know, I got frustrated with the church, the hypocrisy, not my dad, but just the church. You know, you go to church, you have individuals saying, you don't do this, don't do that. But I know how your life is, how you're living your life behind the doors. I understand how things are going. Don't, you know, and so the hypocrisy of the church, even to this day, is a sad thing, right? We know that the church is ordained by God, right? But it is governed by man. It's ran by man. I want to say, you know, people might judge and say, well, you know, no, it's governed by the Holy Spirit. No, man is making decisions. They're doing the things and stuff like that. We hope that it's governed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right.
Right.
That they're being obedient.
Yes, that
the
they're
Holy.
Being obedient. Mm-hmm. They have ear sensitivity. So I got frustrated with hypocrisy, and God hit me in my heart. He said, Jamal, he said, how do I affect change? I said, well, when I look at the individual, you start from the inside out, right? You start from the inside, things happening on the inside. And then as they continue walking their life, you start seeing it manifest on the outward appearance. He said, that's what you need to do. Don't leave the church. go back in and work with those individuals. So I started with the youth ministry. And at first, we just hanging out, you know, just loving God, and, you know, going on youth trips, stuff like that. And then it exploded to one of the largest youth ministries in New York City.
Isn't that, boy, your church at 45,000, that has to be one of the largest churches in New York.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow. And this is, like you said, in a, it's kind of in a storefront, right?
Well, no, it's actually on, we're ironically on 11 and a half acres in Brooklyn. And our building is almost about 90,000 square feet. We have 3,500 seats and an auditorium. That's the Brooklyn campus. Long Island campus, we're on 4 acres, 20,000 square feet. We have about 400 seats in there.
Oh.
And yeah, so we're just looking to build and continue. And we don't, our goal as a church is, as we decentralize, is to go to the people, right? And the people that we're going to are our old members that relocated. We looked at the, because we do demographic studies, asset mapping, and things like that. And when we looked at when the original gas prices shot up, remember it was about $4, and, you know, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. we saw the decline of our members coming into the building because the family van costs more to fill up. I'm already taking trips into the city on 5 days a week. Now it's going to be the sixth day and stuff like that. So we saw the decline. So, well, maybe we can just go to our people. And in Suffolk County alone, Long Island, we have over 800 individuals on database that live there that go to Brooklyn every Sunday. So we went that way. And as time goes on, you look at the mass exodus of people coming out of New York, as you know, shooting down here in Orlando. And just in the past 6 months, we had about 8 families that relocated here in Orlando. Hmm. So we're saying we're going to our people. If God blesses us with more individuals, but our goal is to go to our people. We're not looking to do this large mega church. We know decentralization of church is what's happening right now. And that's going to happen across the board. You'll see that in all mega churches going through the same crisis.
Now, we've heard about that kind of an exodus going on for some time. And it's pretty clear that COVID did a real number on New York City and, for that matter, the entire state of New York.
Yes.
And we've heard that a lot of them, but boy, this is gives us another, I guess, vantage point to that reality when I'm hearing you say that many of your members from your church are actually leaving, and conditions I know aren't what they were now last year. I think they are better in New York right now than they were in the height of it, but it's still difficult there, isn't it?
Yes, and I think, you know, you as you look at the reality, there's always opportunity in adversity. And with that, you a lot of individuals are saying, I don't have to go back to work in the building anymore. I can work remotely, keep the financial level of life that I'm living here in New York and bring it with me down into Florida. It makes sense, right? You got that group of individuals. Then you got the group of individuals say, I'm just going to retire. I was in law enforcement. I was civil servant. And this environment is not conducive for me to want to stay mm-hmm. and be happy. So I'd rather retire and relocate, you know, down to Orlando. I'm able to work with a better fixed income. And then you got the individuals that are, you know, looking to say, okay, maybe it's time for a job change. Maybe it's time for a switch up on my career. I've been in this job for 20 years. I can go back to school, get another degree, and start all over again, right? And so you got a large group of individuals. And I think the biggest thing that hit a lot of people were the fact that, like, I have 5 kids, so it's 7 of us. So imagine being in New York City, not being able to go anywhere, then having a curfew, and I'm living in an apartment building. My kids, we would have been at war, annoying each other, stuff like that. It would have been so tight, so cramped. It would have been so annoying and frustrating. I think for the sake of sanity, people would say, okay, I gotta relocate and rethink the way I'm living and, mm-hmm. and my living conditions. Not saying that they were bad, but they need to, is it this opportunity to say, okay, can they get better?
Do you think that New York is going to rebound to where it was before?
Yes. I can't say yes to before, but yes, they're going to rebound. What the question is, what does a rebound look like?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Maybe a new normal.
Yeah, a new norm. They are saying that this year they start seeing certain areas, a resurgence of people moving back in to certain areas, the affluent areas. You're starting to see individuals come back and things like that. So you're starting to see a uptick, we would say, in residential real estate. Increasing commercial is going to be the problem. The question mm-hmm. is how commercial, like you got companies like WeWorks and that rent Office Space, they're not doing too well because Office Space is, people don't want them yet. You know, so, but I think there might be a rebound because now people say, okay, I don't want a full Office Space, but I want something to meet once a week maybe. So
do you think prices will drop on these things?
I don't know. We've seen soaring in prices, whatever reason, and they never rebound to less expensive. You know, they try to do discounts or mm-hmm. you know, bargains and things like that. But I think the prices are where they are right now. Unless we go through another issue pre-Giuliani, where we have the broken glass syndrome and going through all that stuff, where we see prices dropping.
On this church plant that you guys are looking at making here in Central Florida, in the Eatonville area, will there be a leader coming down from your church, or will there be somebody raised up down here?
Well, we have one individual who's been down here for years, and we haven't landed at Eatonville. We're still looking, but we end up teaming up with Eatonville because we just have relationships. The Omega Psi Phi fraternity, which one of our members is a part of, him and his fraternity was a part of it. So it was like four or five different groups. Broken Bread, they were part of it, and a couple other groups that we came together to work and service Eatonville. Mm-hmm. And Eatonville is a big thing because it's the first historic Black African American community that started in the United States.
Yes, it is.
So it was something very emotionally, done, that we dealt with because of being able to go back to that community like that with such rich history.
Yeah, and we're just about, a half a mile south of Kennedy Boulevard right there by the bridge that declares all that.
Yes.
That's really neat.
So one individual, he relocated years ago. He's down here, and he's a minister. And then actually one of our ministers and our resident theologian, which is heading up our School of Biblical Theology, New School of Biblical Theology, he actually relocated as well. So he's one of the families that relocated down here in Florida. So we have our individuals in place ready to start.
Yeah, you've already sent down the leadership team, man.
Yeah, we got a choir and everything, a band, everything.
Oh, is that right?
To all relocated individuals.
Any idea on when this start date would be announced?
We're looking for January. God willing that we find a place. We're working on a temporary location and then looking for something long term.
Wow. Well, when you come back, and I'm sure you will be back from time to time, we'll have to have you back up here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it, Mike.
This is really exciting. Before we go, we've got just another minute. Tell us a little bit about what it's like. I know your dad is often referred to as pastor to celebrities. So there are a lot of well-known people that go into your church building there in New York. What's that like?
I think one of the reasons why they do go is because we treat them like people. We give them, the necessary treatment so that they won't get bombarded by our members. But we treat them like people. We look to build a relationship. There's no ask, right? You're there. We want to see you grow. We want to, God said, be fruitful and multiply. What he said is be the best you that you can be, right? Even in this broken state that we are in, be the best you, right? I'll come alongside and make up the difference. And with our goal is to say, be the best you. We don't want anything. If God puts in your heart, then he puts in your heart. But we're not going to use you to make the ministry better and stuff like that. God is doing the work on his own. So I think because we treat them as regular people and there's no big ask from them, I think we are able to establish a real, true, authentic relationship with those celebrities, and they love it.
Well, it's really clear that they love your dad and they love you too. I've seen you on the videos from the church, and you do a great job.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to have you back up again, okay?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
When you come back to town, you give me a call.
Definitely will, dude.
All right, Jamal Bernard, our guest today, and we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, back now with someone on the line. I have not had the privilege of meeting Maddie Ray in person, but it is my honor to have her on the program today. And she is a Christian recording artist. She's also a speaker. She does evangelism work. And she's an author. All of that in a very young package. You've been very busy, Maddie. We're so glad to have you on the program, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Mike. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well and to all of those that are listening.
Well, for those who are not familiar with you, with your background, with your ministry, tell us a little bit about how you came to know the Lord first, and then we'll get into your ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've grown up in the church my whole life. I'm a pastor's kid. My parents founded our ministry, Church of Joy, located in Waukegan, Illinois, over 25 years ago. And so I'm 23, so I have been in the ministry literally since I was born. And when my parents started the ministry, God really called them to start it in a way where we reached a lot of kids and teens. And so we did a lot of outreach and evangelism and programming, and we were doing a lot of bus ministry as well. And we were reaching over like 3,000 young people on a weekly basis. And so we were doing a lot of programming. So I grew up in all of that. I grew up watching my parents sacrifice and be obedient to the call of God that was on their life, and grew up with the understanding that God had called us to really reach a generation. And that began to really burn in my heart. And so at 4 years old is when I received Christ. I was convicted at a very young age in the middle of watching one of those Jesus movies. And honestly, I can say I remember at 4 years old, my little heart being convicted that I needed a relationship with Jesus. And so I ran off during the movie and I went into my room and I prayed to Jesus and I said, Jesus, I want to accept you into my heart. And so I became a born-again Christian at 4 years old. And then at 12 years old is when kind of my ministry started, from growing up in the church and seeing the heart that my parents had to reach a generation. I began to take on that heart as well. And what I'm very grateful for is being a pastor's kid and growing up in the church is that my parents really gave me a lot of opportunity within the church. And I think at times young people don't always experience that. And I think that's really helped when it comes to even the testimony that I have of staying in the church, is that my parents provided opportunity for me to feel a part, for me to feel like this was not only my parents' ministry, but it was something that God had called our whole family to. And so I can talk about here in a moment about what my ministry kind of started off as. But from a very young age, I felt the same call that my parents had to really reach a young generation and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them.
Now, clearly, your parents did something really great in training you to have not only that kind of a heart for your parents and the fact that you still love them, but as a PK, a preacher's kid, so often we all know the stories of PKs don't end up like yours, end up with maybe a disdain for the church as well as for their parents, maybe some resentment because of just some of the things. But just kudos to your mom and dad, and also just how wonderful it is that you responded at such a young age. So you guys had some good lanes of communication open.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful to my parents, so grateful for the way that they raised me, again, how much they made me just feel a part. And really, really, and I talk a lot about this when I talk to pastor's kids and church kids, because I definitely feel a call to minister to them. And that's actually what my latest book, Dwell, is all about. It really has a heart for pastor's kids and church kids. But what my parents helped me with the most is really my perspective. Having a perspective of the church, because pastors' kids, church kids, young people that just grow up around all of that, you can see the good, the bad, and the ugly. We witness it all. The church is the most perfect, imperfect place, is what I say. It's perfect because it's what God established. It's what God wanted for us. It's His house. But it becomes imperfect when we walk through the door, because we're imperfect. And so we can encounter people, you know, throughout our journey of ministry and church. And that doesn't always, you know, we can have great experiences or we can have not so great experiences. But my parents helped me to have just a wonderful perspective of loving the church, appreciating the church, and valuing the church. And knowing that although we might go through things with people, that's not a reflection of God in His heart. And contrary to what some would think, as pastor's kids, we actually get a front row seat at seeing all that God does in the lives of people. I've been able to witness God restore people, God heal people, free people, save people. I've been able to witness that, and I've been able to encounter the Jesus that I've always heard about. And I think that's such a difference maker when it comes to the lives of young people that grew up within the church.
Now, you're 23 years old, and so there are so many young people that would be right around your age on both ends of it, a little older, a little younger, and they, many of them, I know you bump into them too, probably on a regular basis when you're out and about, they have no background at all. How do they come over to you when they find out that you're a preacher's kid and hear your values and even in the way you talk, how do they respond to you?
Yeah. You know, I've been really grateful to see how many young people have taken to the ministry that God has given me. And on both ends, whether it's young people that are pastors' kids and church kids, or if they're on the other end where they have no experience in that and they didn't grow up in church and their life has been very different. I think because of the experience that I've had in ministry, where yes, I've grown up in the church as a pastor's kid and church kid, and I've been around that, but also our ministry has been to reach young people whose parents don't go to church. They come out of different home environments. They have no concept of really what church is, what the Bible is, what the Christian faith is. And so I think in having that experience, I've been able to really relate to a lot of young people and really just help them. My goal in what I do is to help young people come into the life that God intends for them to live. I'm very adamant about doing that because no matter what your background is, no matter what, you know, you come out of, a lot of times our lives become, you know, the product of things that we've experienced. And we wind up living almost a defaulted life of my life is what it is because of what I've come out of or because of what I've experienced. But I try to help young people, no matter where they're coming from within their life, to step into the life that God intended for them to live. And at a very young age, even when I went to my father and asked my father the question for myself growing up in the church of, hey, Dad, what's my testimony going to be? I feel like a pastor's kid, a church kid, that I'll never have a testimony. I'll never be able to have something to really share with people. And that's where the foundation of my ministry came in, is from when he led me to the verse in the Bible, Psalms 27, verse 4, where it says, one thing I desire, mm-hmm. this only do I seek, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And at that young age, I made a vow to God that I was going to live this life of dwelling in his house, remaining in the will that he has, his purpose and plan for my life, and being an example to other young people that it's possible. It's possible, no matter what kind of life you come out of, to live the life that God intends for you to live. And that's an incredible testimony to have. And so no matter where young people are coming from, I believe that God uses my ministry to reach them right where they're at, to help lead them into the place that God has for them in their life.
This sounds so wonderful. You know, you've just quoted from one of my favorite Psalms, of my two favorite Psalms, Psalm 27 and Psalm 63. And I'm betting that you've been pretty familiar with that one as well. But Psalm 27, this thing that you've just quoted, the one thing that we really need is that ability to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And then you've emphasized that other part of that passage where it does speak about all the days of your life being able to dwell with him and to gaze upon his beauty. I mean, that's a heady thing for a young lady like yourself, and especially one that you felt this call early on, felt called into ministry at the ripe old age of 12.
Yeah.
And yet you knew back then. So do your friends find the confidence that you have in God? Do they ever find that to be intimidating?
You know, I've always asked the Lord to help me when it comes to the people that are around me, to just bless them and minister to them and let my life be an example to them, you know, and to help them grow in that in any way. And, you know, I would look at my life at times and think, why is my life so different? Whether it was growing up in school and, you know, making different decisions or walking out my faith in a different way, especially being someone that went to school at a Christian school, you know, and encountering a lot of the things that you wouldn't maybe expect to encounter there. I, you know, would have to step away at times and see, well, my life, it's kind of going a little bit of a different direction than maybe I see my friends. But I've been grateful to see how the Lord has used me to be a light to them and to encourage them and to minister to them. I've talked to friends at times, you know, whenever they've come to me about things in their life, and they'll just say, man, Maddie, anytime I ask you for advice, you always just take us back to the Word of God. Like, we never just get something straight from you. You always tell us what God says. And so I try to live my life that way with anyone that's within, whether it be my outer circle or inner circle. I try to not just live my life in a way where, you know, I tell people how they should live or do this and that, but I try to be the best example that I can be. I try to point people to the Word of God, for that's where I receive all that I have and carry out within my life is from the Word of God. I don't base anything just off of my personal opinions. I base it off of the truth of God's Word, even when it comes to things like confidence, which I love speaking about to people or to young people, is knowing that my confidence isn't a self-made confidence. To the contrary of what maybe the world thinks, I don't believe there is a self-confidence, because if we have self-confidence, then that means our confidence is dependent on ourselves, and ourselves aren't always reliable. But when our confidence is dependent on God and what He says, what His Word says, what He thinks about us, well, that's a pretty reliable place to put our confidence in. And so I try to walk in that every day, and I try to let my life be an example and just speak to others. And when it does, I'm very grateful to see the fruit that comes from that.
Well, that's so beautiful. Now, you said that you felt called to ministry and started getting an idea on some of these things when you were 12. You're now just still under 10 years from that mark. Are things today like what you saw back when you were 12? Are there any surprises?
It's all a surprise, Mike. I know God had it. He knew what He was doing. But when I started, you know, at 12 years old, my ministry started by having actually a kids' TV show. And so when I was 12, my dad and others that were part of our church, we were looking for other initiatives to further reach young people like we were kind of in a local way. And so I had a TV show for children called The Maddie Ray Show, and it aired in the Chicagoland area. And it was just an extension of what we were doing in our ministry. And it was from that point, and when I talk to people about my ministry, I always bring up my father, because my dad has been the one to really give a lot of vision for what my ministry is today, and to really give me the opportunity to even come into the gifts and talents that God has placed within my life. And so starting that at a young age of having a kids' TV show, to being 14 years old and within our church having an all-girls Christian rap group where I started singing, rapping, and dancing and performing Christian music, it began to inspire so many things within me to do Christian music and to, you know, teach and to study the Word of God, to share more with young people on how to live their life for God. And then around 18 years old, is when I became the youth pastor at our church, and I started preaching, and I started really seeing that that's something that God really wanted to use within young people throughout even the nation. And so around that age of 18, we began to see that what God was using me to do just at our church and kind of in a local area, God then wanted to use it more on a national platform. And so that's really when my ministry began to take off, around the age of 18. And ever since then, I've been traveling and doing music, performing at concerts and Christian festivals, but now more so than ever, also traveling as an evangelist, being able to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to young people. And where the books come into play, that's where I really felt God speak to me to take it one step further, rather than just preaching a sermon one time at one conference to one group of young people to say, hey, live your life for God, but to now give them a resource that they can take home after that encounter we had together, and they can now know how to every single day live out their life for God in a practical way. And that's why I write the books that I do. But everything that God has done to this point has been just a surprise and a blessing, and I'm just so grateful for what the Lord has done, but then always very grateful as well to my parents who are my pastors as well, and then to my church. My church backs me. They support me, and they see this as an initiative and outreach of our ministry, which I'm very grateful to have them.
That's marvelous. How many books have you written?
I have written, this year, we've definitely put out a lot. I believe it's about 4 that we have released. A lot has come out this year. My first book was the book Dwell that I released, and we actually just re-released it literally last week. It just came out again as a re-release, a revised and an expanded edition, and so that just came out with a brand new cover, an additional chapter, and that's available on Amazon now. But then also throughout this year, I released a book at the beginning of the year called No Bad Days, about how life is good because God is good. And I wanted to release that, especially coming out of all that we came out of with the pandemic and things that have been going on, knowing that no matter what takes place around us, although it can have an impact on us, it does not change who our God is, for he is still good, therefore our life can be good. So I released that one. I also released a children's book called Never Let You Go, where I teach children to keep their faith and to never let go of their faith in Jesus Christ. And then I released, again, another one called No More Lies, about finding your identity and your purpose in Christ.
Now, a couple of those that you've just mentioned are also listed as singles, so you have a companion song to go along with the book.
Yes, we wanted to be very intentional about that, about kind of putting these campaigns together throughout the year of releasing a single, releasing a music video, and then releasing a resource that went with it. And so this was honestly a really, really great year for us. And I say us because it takes a team to be able to push all of these things out. But from the music to the incredible music videos that we've done to the resources that have come out, it's really been able to bless a lot of people, especially my last single and music video that released called Deserve Your Love. That one has really struck a chord with people. I was able to work on that song with a really great hit songwriter named Makeba Riddick Woods. And that song has been very different than a lot of the other music that I've done. But the message behind it just really, really touches people's hearts about in those moments when we feel undeserving and unworthy, God's love still is just there for us. He loves us so much. He is there for us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he reaches right into our lives right when we need him the most. And so that's communicated through the song and then communicated beautifully through probably one of my favorite music videos that we've ever put together. But that's available now as well. And it's really been able to bless a lot of people.
Wow, that's wonderful. Maddie Ray is my guest. We'll be back with Maddie coming up in a moment. Back again on this Thanksgiving Day. My guest today is Maddie Ray. Maddie's from the northern Chicago area. And you're still living up there, right?
I am. I'm still in Waukegan, Illinois. I'm at my parents' ministry. I still live at home, and so I'm definitely still here.
Well, that's a cold place this time of year, or at least it starts being a little different than our nice Florida sunshine that we normally have. Today, it started off not so bright and sunshiny, but I see the sun has found its way back out again, and that's great. Because we're recording this program a couple of days early this week, it played back on Thanksgiving Day. Maddie is the daughter of a pastor and very involved in ministry. One of the beautiful stories that I've heard in some time of a pastor's kid who not only loves her mom and dad still, as she just mentioned, living still at home, but also loves the Lord. And that is a beautifully refreshing thing. So I'm grateful. As a former pastor myself, one of the biggest prayers that I ever had, Maddie, was that our four kids would stay in the relationship that they always had with the Lord as they grew up, and they did, and I'm grateful for that. And they're serving the Lord in their different situations right now, and I'm grateful that without a doubt you're going to be doing the very same thing. When we look at this day, Thanksgiving Day, this is a day that is so well known around our country as being one where it's like we have a purpose on this day, a reminder to be thankful, to be grateful. What do you find in your life, not only today, but all year long, something that you find to be a real chief aspect of your life for which you are thankful?
Yeah, you know, I love being asked this question. I love it being, you know, Thanksgiving today. A couple of days ago, we were actually sitting down as a family, and my dad asked the same question to all of us, and I had just gotten back from being on the road and traveling a lot, and I was sitting there with him, and he asked me, and I just felt in my spirit to just say that I was grateful for the consistency and the stability of God, of my family, and of my church. And I really felt that because I think even in times like today, when there's so much that can go on within our lives, there's so much going on in our world, so much going on in our nation, so much going on in society, in culture, in our lives, in our families. There's just so much that's going on. There could even be a sense of so much just instability and inconsistency. I was reminded to just, number one, first be grateful for the consistency of God. God has always been good. I have always seen God be faithful. I have always seen God come through for me, come through for my family, come through for our church. I've just seen that about God. And I think if anyone were to ever ask me, you know, what I love most about God is I love his goodness and his faithfulness. He never fails. I've never seen him fail. And so I was so grateful for that. But then because of God, I was so grateful of the consistency and stability of my family. That when I come off from being on the road, I'm able to come back to a family that's solid, a family that's grounded. And I know that maybe not everyone has that. And I know that I'm very fortunate and I'm very privileged to be able to have a family that's very solid and very stable for me to always come back to be rooted in. And then I'm grateful for my church. I'm grateful to be submitted underneath a church that has covered me, a family, a ministry that I love and they love me. And I'm just grateful for that. And I would encourage even anyone today as it pertains to the church, you don't have a church home, you need to be in a church home. No matter what your experience has been, you need to find a church that really has an example of the heart of God and represents that in everything that they do. And the church that I'm a part of, my parents' church, they do that so well. And so this Thanksgiving, from this entire year that I've experienced, I'm grateful for the stability and the consistency of God, of my family, and of my church.
Do you find that young people, when you talk and you speak this way, which is so, I believe, just so wonderfully seasoned with not only love, the love of God, but also your love for the fact that he has added you to a family. And we know, you know, that there's a lot of young people that don't have that kind of experience. They don't have parents that like yours. And so when they hear you, do they instantly, do you feel an instant connection, or do you feel at times you have to earn their trust?
You know, what's been beautiful is, I mean, as I have to think about that, and I haven't been asked that before, it's been amazing. There's been an instant trust with a lot of them. I mean, immediately, when I go into environments with young people, there's an immediate connection. There's an immediate trust. There's an immediate, you know, bond, I would even say, you know, that we have. And I think, you know, I think, and I'm real, again, I'm just so grateful for the Lord, because the way that he has graced my life to be has been such an example to people. But not only an example, I would almost say, if I could say it this way, almost an extension to others, where when people look at my life, rather than it being something where people are like, oh, you know, she's been able to have that life and that hasn't been my story. But there's been this way where they've connected of, I want more of what she has because of what she's experienced, because of the life that she's lived. And even when it comes to maybe the way that I talk or the experience that I've had, you know, even at times the wisdom that I can share that comes from my father, people love that because they love being able to hear what I've been taught from my father or what I've been able to experience through my family. And it really connects them where they want more of that to kind of overflow into their life, which I think has been just beautiful. I've never seen resistance. I've never seen even an insecurity or anything. I've seen an immediate bond where God has really turned the hearts of young people towards my ministry, where I can really impart into them and let what my life has been overflow into their lives, which has just been so beautiful. And I've been so grateful to see God use me in that way, no matter what young people have come out of or what their experiences have been. And I'm always sensitive anytime I go into any environment, knowing that my story is not everyone's story. And so I'm very sensitive to what others have gone through. But I think through that, the Lord has been able to speak through me and to really just share what needs to be said. And I pray that every time, Lord, help me to minister exactly what these young people need to hear with what their life has looked like and what it has been. And God has graced me to do that every time where young people have walked away from any time of ministry, just feeling that much more empowered and enabled and even set free from things that they might have gone through within their life.
I think it's wonderful that you're crediting the wisdom to your dad and the way he's taught you. But I have to tell you that I'm hearing an awful lot of wisdom come out of you. And that's there because God's been faithful and you've applied what you've heard. It's one thing to hear stuff, Maddie, but it's another thing to live it. And I can tell that this is not just repeated in your mind. that you're actually believing this and living it. And that's why you're making a difference. So, tell us a little bit about your music.
Yeah. So again, this year we've been able to release a lot of different singles. And I came out, you know, when I first kind of maybe got more of a national platform, people only knew me as an artist. And so I was only doing music. I was doing Christian pop and hip hop kind of music. I do a little bit more urban contemporary kind of music. And I say urban contemporary because it some of it can be a little bit more like, you know, your typical CCM kind of music. But it's got at times a little bit of an urban flair here and there with it. But I've been doing that, like I said, from a very young age, being a part of the Christian rap group and doing that. And so I've been able to share the stage with a lot of incredible artists, do a lot of fun music festivals and concerts. And something really fun about the music that I do, especially when I get to perform it, is I love really, you know, making it a fun performance when it comes to even the dancing that's a part of it, the wardrobe that's a part of it. Purity and modesty is a really big part of my ministry. And so I love to show young people, young girls, or even young men as well, that through the performance that I do and even kind of the way that I carry myself or the way that I dress, that it can be done in a fun, in a cool, in a, you know, really trendy kind of way. But it's also done in a very modest and a very pure way. And I'm very adamant about that. And so love incorporating dance where it's clean and it's modest along with what I wear. And so that's been a fun part of my music career. But with the rest of my music that's releasing, again, a lot has come out this year. And all of it, when I write music, again, I write it along the lines of helping people live the life that God created for them to live. And so I talk a lot about confidence. I talk about identity. I talk about purpose. I talk about, you know, biblical standards of living. I incorporate that within my music of living an honorable life, living a life based off of the standards of the Word of God. And living again in purity and things like that. And so I try to incorporate all of that into my music. I am unashamed of the name Jesus. And so I use Jesus all throughout my music, and I'm very purposeful and intentional with doing that. But even going into next year, I'm very excited for the music that we'll be releasing. We're going to be releasing again, pretty much singles almost every month again, similarly to what we did this year. And for me, I use music as a tool. I use it as a tool to captivate the attention of young people today, to help draw them in through how it sounds, how it feels, the way it looks, but to ultimately lead them to Jesus Christ with the gospel message. And so very grateful to see how God has used my music to do just that.
Well, people can listen to your music by going to your website, MaddieRay.com. That's MaddieRey.com. And that is there. And whoever's doing your website, it's a beautiful website. Very, very colorful. You've just got something that I think they're all going to love. I mean, from the just the songs and information about the ministry, a video that's there as well. When you look over you now toward this new year that's coming rapidly upon us, what are you seeing the new year bringing for you and your ministry?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, again, as I kind of came out more as an artist, really allowing the artistry that I've done and the ministry as an evangelist to really come together. As we go into this next year, my ministry will be changing a little bit to be umbrellaed under Maddie Ray Evangelistic Ministries, really seeing my ministry reach out more with evangelism, with the intention of reaching a young generation across the nation. And so, again, using the music as a tool, but then really providing, whether it be events or speaking at different venues or, you know, holding different conferences or things like that, really seeing the gospel message go out that much further and being able to travel more as an evangelist to really share the message that I feel God has been giving me to share, whether that be through the message of Dwell or even through the message of just what's been going on in the culture today. I really feel God wanting me to speak more on that, to help a generation really come into the way that we should live as Christians versus what the culture, society, and social media is presenting to us. And so I'm very excited to really hit the road more next year to be able to minister and to preach and then also share my music with those. And then writing more books. I've been loving doing that. That is something new that God has given me to do over the past couple of years. And so I will again be releasing several books, and I study very hard and prepare a lot to be able to do that. But I try to stay on track with God's timeline for my life. I know that my life does not belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. And so I try to stay in step with what he's asking me to do and the assignments that he's giving me to do. And so I'm very expectant for what 2022 will bring. And my hopes and my expectancy is that a lot of people, whether it be young or old, are going to encounter the Lord and come to know him and hopefully be reached by the ministry that God has given me. And so even through that, I do want to share that even my music that I shared about, that can be found actually anywhere online. You can find it on iTunes, on Apple Music, on Spotify, wherever you listen to music. You can find it there. And then all of my music videos, they're on YouTube under Official Maddie Ray. And then all of my books and resources, I actually have an online store called thedwellshop.com, where you can find my books and you can find a lot of merch. That's something else we're going to be pushing next year, is doing a lot more with the clothing line that I have of the Dwell Shop, really creating Christian apparel for young people to feel proud about wearing with the gospel message on their t-shirts or hoodies or whatever it is that we're making. And so that's another initiative that we'll be putting more into next year as well.
Wow. We've got to have you back on the program in a couple of months. I'd like to
very much
to have you back on, Maddie. And I'm excited to get to know about you and to hear what God's doing in your life. And we wish you the very best and a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Mike. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to all that are listening.
God bless you. And friends, the same to you. We'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.